Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees radio, The Fan.
All right, 305. McMonagle here with you on The Fan on this Thursday morning. 888-808-1019. I got you for 2 more hours. We take you to 5 o'clock and the warm-up show. Talking a lot of Knicks and the plan. And if you just heard the update there, five currently employed. Five. 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth, five currently employed head coaches have been, or at least five organizations, have been asked if they'd be willing, you know, to let the Knicks talk to their current head coach. All five have told the Knicks no. No. There's also the report earlier that KD is out for the Knicks, which I'm fine with. Look, I was somewhat interested in KD. A KD for Karl Anthony Towns trade, which is really the only way it works, I would think. It changes the team. It could make them more dynamic. It could be a disaster, bringing everything that comes with Kevin Durant and putting that, again, on now the shoulders of a new head coach. But ultimately, I'm fine with it. I don't feel overly strong about it. I could see a path where that makes the Knicks better. I still respect KD and his game, but I think it's probably for the best to leave that one alone. And it sounds like the Knicks are, as they're looking to trade him to San Antonio, seems like the most logical landing spot for KD. A couple other teams seem interested, but it won't be the New York Knicks. And we'll see who the next head coach is, but I just can't fathom where they were just a couple weeks ago to where they are now. A steady team on the rise. Biggest victory in 25 years. Biggest upset victory in maybe the entire franchise's history. Riding high, going into a Eastern Conference Finals that they were favored to win. And then they had a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter of Game 1. And we were all wondering, you know, how Ben Stiller was going to get to Oklahoma City. And instead, it has fallen apart. Those same Indiana Pacers are now leading the NBA Finals over the Oklahoma City, 2-1. And that loss was such a disgrace that the coach had to be fired. And now the process of finding the new one is, whether it's perception, reality, whatever, it's embarrassing right now. It's embarrassing. And we have no idea where they're going to go. And the more and more you think of it, and here's to the point. Tell me the candidate that you're going to be excited about. Any one of them could do a good job. Any one of them could be the right guy. I mean, I'm old enough to remember Clueless Joe, when Joe Torre was perceived as a ridiculous hire. Someone who had a track record of not getting over the hump. The longest professional career in Major League Baseball without getting to a World Series. Failure as Met manager. Failure as Braves manager. Just a guy who just was unsuccessful in previous stops. Coming to a New York Yankees team that was on the rise with a young Buck Showalter leading the way. And it was perceived as a disaster. And it worked. So I'm not saying they can't hire the right guy. I'm not saying that whoever they hire won't be the right guy. I'm just saying it is going to be a tough, tough, tough job. And right now, of all the candidates out there, who excites you? Who excites you? And where are we going? The only one right now that I would be remotely happy with of all the names we've heard is Jason Kidd. Is Jason Kidd. Because one, I do feel like from reporting that it was their main target or their first target. I do think that he's a good head coach in this league. I think we've all seen him play. He's a smart player. He took a team to the NBA Finals last year. He's been around. The media won't be an issue for him. I'm hoping that he figures out a way to get out of Dallas if he wants to be the Knicks head coach badly enough. But outside of that, they're going to talk to Mike Brown now. They're going to talk to its assistant coaches. They're going to try and, like, none of the other coaches that they've been told no to. Like, then I don't see a way Chris Finch works his way out of Minnesota. I don't see a way that Udoka works his way out of Houston or Quinn Snyder out of Atlanta or Billy Donovan out of Chicago. And even if they did, would you be all that excited about the hire of Quinn Snyder? Hey, we're trading 2 second-round picks for Quinn Snyder. Does that get you excited? When you fire Tibbs, you have to have a plan. And it can't just be, we'll talk to everybody and we'll do our due diligence. That's not a plan. That's reacting to having no plan, and that's where the Knicks are today. 888-808-1019. Eric and Ronkonkoma, what's up, Eric?
Hey, C-Mac, good morning. You know, I know who the next head coach is going to be, and I will tell you, it's that guy Duncan. That's why he's not
that's
giving
it. He doesn't want to give me the name because it's him. Yep.
It's him, exactly, right. He knows if he tells you it's him, you know, then everyone will be in an uproar. And, I mean, come on, you know, to say... look, I mean, I've always said basketball is not my big thing, but to say that Charles Barkley, while yes, he's a personality, has no idea of anything going on in basketball.
Has no credibility, yeah. Has no credibility when he talks about the league.
The guy played it's ridiculous. In the league. You know,
he's a Hall of Famer.
I mean, I'll tell you, you know, there's got to be.
Yeah, and he's been covering it for like 25 years. Like the idea that Charles Barkley isn't a respectable or at least worthy voice to reference when covering the NBA is ridiculous. It's patently ridiculous.
I mean, I'm not saying, you know, he's not the be-all, end-all.
Yeah, he's not the end-all. You're right. It doesn't mean he's right. He could be dead wrong. Yeah. But, I mean, to say that him sitting half court of the NBA Finals calling the Knicks the dumbest organization in basketball and not having a plan after firing Tibbs, the idea that that doesn't mean anything or that we shouldn't, like I'm embarrassed by that. We should be embarrassed by that. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm starting to wonder, and look, I told you I've met Brett, but I'm starting to wonder if Duncan, Brett, and Eddie from Rockland are all the same guy.
It could be. That would be impressive. That would be impressive. No, but I not that I, you know, I'm not going to say, and thank you for the call, Eric. I happen to like Duncan, though. I don't know what it is. The dominating thing doesn't bother me when he says it. I don't know why. Maybe it's just because the term dominate, like when Brett goes, I'm up 1-0, like that's just like, Brett, shut up. Like, honestly, Brett, what are you talking about? Stop with but like when Duncan says, I'm going to dominate you, I don't know, it makes me chuckle. And he makes a lot of good points. Like, I don't think Duncan is an idiot by any stretch. Yeah. Whereas, you know, Brett, different conversation. But, no, Duncan makes good points. I get it. And you know, we'll see. He just gave me an answer to the question, at least, as I've been asking anyone, saying, if this is a plan from the New York Knicks, what does a non-plan look like? Because I've been hearing, oh, this is a plan. I'm like, well, if this is a plan, just asking, you know, a quarter of the league if their coaches are available, if that's a plan, what does a non-plan look like? And at least he answered the question. He just tweeted me, a non-plan is elevating an assistant coach. I think you could very easily make a case that that's a plan. You could easily make a case that that's a plan. You would tell me it's a plan, Duncan. I know you. Because right now you're just defending the Knicks. If they elevated the head coach, you'd say that was the plan. That was their guy. And how do we know they don't do that? I know you know exactly who they're going to hire, Duncan. But what if they do? What if they go all through this and then elevate an assistant coach? What if Rick Brunson's the next head coach from the New York Knicks? Are we going to say that wasn't a plan? I doubt it. At least the plan people are going to continue to say plan. I'm just like, all right, elevating a head coach is not a plan. All right. How could you really call this a plan, though? Talking to everybody? I could do that. Anyone could do that. Going around knocking on doors like, hey, can we talk to your coach? Can we talk to your coach five separate times? That's not a plan, man. It's just not a plan. John in Norwalk has a plan for the Knicks.
Hey, C-Mac. Love the show.
Thank
love
you,
that you're on Saturdays, too, now.
I appreciate that.
The perfect ex-Knick that you player that you bring in, make him the head coach. He's got ties to a superstar that almost guarantee that superstar coming to the Knicks. All right? You bring back Thanasis, and you make him your head coach. Giannis's brother.
Yeah. That would be...
Problem solved.
You bring... Yeah, you got... And then you pretty much have Giannis being the head coach of the team.
They might even have more siblings that we don't know about. And there goes your depth problem. Your bench is solved, all right?
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, look, anything to get Giannis here. Giannis is a pipe dream. It's all pipe dreams. It's just, that is funny. And that's the other thing, too. Like, if they're hiring coaches in hopes of getting stars, like, those days should be over, man. We've been there, done that, trying to bring stars to this team. Like, they don't have the draft picks right now. I don't see how it would work. Like, let's not hire Jay. If Jason Kidd is their coach because they believe that gives them a better chance to bring in Giannis, if that's the main reason or at least the significant reason, then I don't want Jason Kidd, because it shouldn't be about trying to bring a coach here that you think could get you Giannis. If it works, then I'll shut my mouth and go, great, I'm glad you did it. But it just feels like it won't. And it shouldn't be the thought process behind hiring coaches. And again, my main issue is due diligence is fine, right? I understand it. I understand the term. I understand the thought process of, hey, talk to everybody, get as much information as you can. Like, that's what you want to hear. I get it. But when you fire a coach, because whatever you think of Tibbs and whatever level you think he got you to, and that you can't go further, the level he got us to was significantly, significantly better than everyone else in the last two decades. Significantly. When you're two wins away from beating what may end up being the NBA champions in the Indiana Pacers, when you're blowing a 14-point lead with 2.5 minutes away from going 7 with that team to get to the NBA Finals, and you fire a coach like Tibbs, there has got to be a specific, and then you fire him because the players give you problems, or I shouldn't say give you problems, indicate that they had a problem with the head coach. Fine, I'm over it, I'm past it, that's why they did it. I get it, now we understand it's probably James Dolan making this decision. Fine. But when you do that, you have to give me a targeted search for coaches that will specifically help in the areas we're talking about. This isn't a lousy football team that is just looking to find a coach to bring a culture and stability to an organization, and you're open to an offensive-minded head coach, a defensive-minded head coach, a special teams coach who can just focus on being a head coach, or whatever the other nonsense we hear with guys who call plays, guys who don't call plays. Like, you could be open to anything. Open up the search. See if you can find a guy that you can believe lead your franchise from the depths. They already did that. They're not at the depths. They're at the precipice of a championship. If you're going to make a switch at that moment, it's got to be for a targeted reason, for a specific plan, and for a specific area you need the team improved in. Not just like a bunch of different coaches who have a bunch of different coaching styles, and we're just talking to everybody. Like, no. Like, if you're going to give me a five-person plan, you're going to give me a bunch of names that they're talking to, like, let's have it directed towards an area of what we're looking at. And I don't have any sense of that. I have no sense of any direction other than, well, we'll talk to, you know, we'll try and talk to as many good coaches as we can. Like, that's not a plan. Mario in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
Hey, what's going on, C-Mac? Good show. I agree with everything you're saying.
Thank
100%. You. And it really bothers me. They should have let the guy go. I don't know why they didn't. Unless, this is what I'm hoping, but I'm not really sure it's even, going to happen, is that they do have their eye on Jason Kidd. And they said, first, we're going to ask. And they spoke to Jason under the table or whatever. Right. And he said, ask the team, do it the right way. And then if they say no, then I'll push it that I want to get out. I'm just hoping that is.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping it's because of Giannis. And let me tell you something.
Well, that would be the dream. That would be the dream.
Yeah, let me,
the dream is Jason Kidd and Giannis forces his way to New York. That's the dream. But
and if they get Giannis, they win the championship. 100%.
I don't know about 100% because nothing's 100%, but I feel a hell of a lot better about it, sure.
Well, you know what's going to happen then. Think about the East now. The East is, first of all, I don't think Indiana's winning at all, even though they're up 2-1. I don't think they're winning these two. I don't think they're winning.
I think you have to start at least acknowledging it's a stronger possibility than you think, bud. They're up 2 games to 1, and watching a lot of this game, the Pacers are doing the same thing to Oklahoma City they did to the Knicks. They are playing the Pacers game. Now they're capable of beating the Pacers at their own game, but the right now the Pacers dictated that the entire pace of that game yesterday.
Yeah, but all Oklahoma has to do is win this next game coming up. And they're 2-2. They're right back on home court advantage.
Yeah.
That changes everything. It's not, they're tough, but they're beatable. Listen,
of course they're beatable.
Game one of the Knicks when the Knicks played them, that was a miracle. That'll never happen. If that happens 100 times again, they'll lose 99% of the time. But it doesn't matter. A miracle happened.
Right.
Not only the 14-point lead, like you were saying. That Nimhart guy shot like he was Steph Curry. He'll never shoot like that again in his life. And then that three-pointer, I never saw a three-pointer bounce off the back rim, go up 20 feet and go in.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a miracle. Thankfully,
it was, it doesn't matter, but it was a two-pointer. He had his foot on the line. But yes, I agree with you.
Yeah, you're right. It was a two-pointer.
No, but still, in one of the more lucky shooters bounces I've ever seen in my life.
Now, can I give you my point why Giannis would be so important, why I think they'll definitely bring him to the title?
Sure.
And I'll tell you why.
Why?
First of all, right now, I believe Jalen Brunson is the best player in the East right now. Because there is no, next year coming up, there is no Tatum.
Right.
Who's better than him in the East? Really?
Better than Brunson? Than
in the East. In the East. Yeah, nobody.
Outside of Giannis.
Player in the East.
Outside of Giannis.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. You hit the nail right on the head. So if they get Giannis, they're the two best players in the East. And another problem that they had was no defense at center. Now you got, or a big guy. Now you got Giannis, who's an all defensive player of the year.
Mm-hmm.
He's an incredible defensive player. Not only that, the other problem you have is Brunson would get beat up a lot because he had to bring the ball up a lot. Giannis brings the ball up. So he could play off the ball a little bit, Brunson, you know? I think it's a perfect fit. I know I'm dreaming.
No,
a
I mean,
bit.
Look, I, listen, yeah. you don't have to go into it necessarily, of course. I mean, Giannis would make this team infinitely better. Does it guarantee them a championship? I can't go that far as to say it guarantees them anything. But what I feel, if Jason Kidd is the head coach and they trade Karl Anthony Towns plus, I don't know what it would be, but Giannis comes in and it's a team around Giannis and Brunson, and Jason Kidd's head coach. Yeah, I'm as pumped for the upcoming Knicks season as I've ever been. Yeah, totally agree with you. Totally agree with you. And they will be one of, if not the favorite, depending on what Indiana does. And you know they'll be the favorite in the East probably with Giannis. But that is one hell of a leap from where we are now to that dream happening. But I do agree with you. The hope is that Jason Kidd, because there was the story before they even asked. Like, we didn't hear any of that. The other ones we heard in the same breath. Finch was actually reported by Mike Francesa. Francesa reports, they asked Minnesota for Finch, were told no. Then the Udoka and Quinn Snyder and Billy Donovan all were just, hey, they asked, they said no, asked, they said no. The difference with the Kidd story is that the mutual interest reports came 2 days before the official Knicks asked and were denied. So I agree with you. There is something to the if that report was true, which I guess we don't know, but if the report is true that Jason Kidd is interested in the Knicks job, somehow, unless that's just someone getting it from Jason Kidd, who's hearing the speculation and just would openly tell someone, yeah, listen, if the Knicks come calling, I wouldn't be opposed to it. Or if there was some sort of connection and some conversations between, you know, representatives of the Knicks and Kidd or whatever, like there was a dialogue or something, or just the idea that Kidd is openly interested. Even though Dallas said no, we could see, and I'm not just saying it. We talked about it. I heard Ian Begley say the same thing. I heard someone said the same thing. Like, there is still a chance that if Jason Kidd wants the Knicks job, he can really make it difficult for the Dallas Mavericks, and eventually they will cave and change their opinion and work something out with the Knicks. That is possible. That is still on the table. I all the other coaches, I don't see that happening. But Jason Kidd, there is a chance that Jason Kidd could still be the head coach of the New York Knicks. And in my opinion, I don't see a better scenario than that one. 888-808-1019. Steve, we're going to get to your call on the other side. McMonagle here with you. About halfway through our three-hour ride until the warm-up show at 5. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll come back, continue to take your calls. We'll get to the baseball a little bit as David Peterson throws a complete game shutout in the fifth straight victory of the New York Mets as they are on a roll. Soto hits another home run, and the New York Yankees pound the Kansas City Royals. Judge hits another bomb. And if you look at this lineup from the New York Yankees, 10 different players with above average OPS, and you're seeing Wells start to really wake up and dominate. Volpe go the other way. Ben Rice with a big hit. As we wait the return of Giancarlo Stanton, which could happen this weekend, reports of what they're going to do, and Rice playing starting games at catcher possibly.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
All right, 3:31. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. A lot of Knick discussions today as we're trying to figure the hell out what the Knicks are trying to do here. As two more names added to the list. Quinn Snyder of the Atlanta Hawks and Billy Donovan of the Chicago Bulls have been asked and denied to be the next, or at least have a conversation about being the next head coach of the New York Knicks as we watch the Indiana Pacers take a 2-1 lead over the Oklahoma City Thunder. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls, though. Steve in Rockland. What's up, Steve?
Man, Chris, I'll tell you this right now. Mm-hmm. This is how you know that this is not Leon Rose's call. Because if Leon Rose would have made the call to fire Thibodeau, the coach would already be hired. He would have been hired like in 48 hours. Because Leon Rose has a plan. Nope. Here comes James Dolan. And he comes walking in. And he says, listen, this is how it's going to be. And just deal with it. And then he left. All right. Because Leon Rose, this is like you said, I'm conditioned. Leon Rose has a plan. He had a plan until, you know, James Dolan decided to do this. And how about this? You know, if I don't want Kevin Durant is 37 years old, mm-hmm. and he's probably he is just not like that's not a plan. Leon, that is not a plan. Who are you going to trade Karl-Anthony Towns? And boy, you want to talk about giving a guy a bum rap. All right. The guy was up around 12 and a half to 13 rebounds a game. You know, I don't know what – I understand. The Knicks didn't – they didn't get to the finals. You know, only one team can win. All right? Yeah. That's number one. And the idea that Towns – I saw a guy who played hard. I saw a dude in Detroit when he got – jammed in the ribs or whatever it was, and he did not come out of the game. A guy who hurt his hand, he did not whine about it. It was not a thing in the media. He played. What do you, you know, I don't know what people want. And well, the idea that you could bring Giannis here for anything less than a package that's going to include Towns and OG.
Right.
I mean, yeah, that's where it's going to start.
Yeah, and I would do it, though. Wouldn't you do it?
You got to do it.
For one guy? Yeah, absolutely. Have to. He's the best player in the Eastern Conference. Yeah, he's a force. He's an MVP. You have to do it. You have to. I would trade OG Anunoby and Karl Anthony Towns in a second for Giannis, without a second thought. The Bucks wouldn't be able to get the words out of their mouth before I said yep. I think you'd have to. You find another defender. You find players who do what OG Anunoby does. Not as good necessarily, but you got to find you could find players to put around Jalen Brunson and Giannis and make that team. You put shooters and some defenders around that team. They are extremely dangerous. Yeah, I mean, there's nobody on the team not named Brunson that I wouldn't trade. I would trade everyone. I would trade the entire team outside of Brunson, and then figure out how to piecemeal the rest of the roster after it. Like, that's what I don't know how you don't. I want those two together, and I'll figure out how to put a surrounding cast. It is a pipe dream, though. I don't disagree with you. It's very unlikely, but there is nothing I wouldn't do if they wanted to do it. If I got a call from the Milwaukee Bucks saying, look, you lucky dogs, Giannis wants to leave and he wants to go to New York. So I'm not going to give him to you, but we're going to work something out. I'd be like, okay, what do you want? I would anything but Brunson. Let's talk. I would be in on anything. But it's very unlikely. And I can't make decisions based on it. I can't even hire a coach based on it. We've done this before. We've played this game chasing down superstars. It doesn't work. It hasn't worked. But that doesn't change the fact. If I get that call, I'm moving heaven and earth to make it happen. Bill in Queens. What's up, Bill?
Hey, Chris.
What's up, buddy?
I respect you're pretty level-headed about everything.
I try to be.
It really bothers me, though, with the Giannis stuff. Why, when you have to do the money, why would they at this point, with no draft capital, take Towns and whoever, even if it's OG, why would they go there?
Agreed. I don't disagree with you. I'm talking about from a Knicks standpoint that I would say yes to anything, but I agree. Why would Milwaukee want to do it? I have no idea. If you're trading, you're telling me you're going to trade Giannis and sell the fan base on building around Karl Anthony Towns? Like, I don't see that happening. If you're trading Giannis, you are trading Giannis for a complete rebuild. Right. You're getting a bunch of first round picks. You're getting young talent. You're doing something different than bringing Karl Anthony Towns in here.
Chris, you have to think that that's where they're going. And I swear to God, this is a Dolan thing. This is reeks of Dolan, just knee-jerk kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly does now, Bill. And thank you for the call. It certainly does now. With the way the plan has been executed since the firing, it certainly does. I was late to the party, I admit. I believed Francesa because I know Francesa has connections to the Garden when he said it was a Leon Rose thing. And I've also listened to Craig Carton, who I have a good relationship with, and he was telling me and telling us that the relationship between Tibbs and Leon Rose has been strained. And honestly, he hasn't meddled in a while. He really hasn't, in my estimation. Since he hired Phil Jackson, he stayed away and let the guys run the team. Phil Jackson ran it into the ground. Leon Rose ran it back into prominence. And he's let them do it. And I felt like your response is the only reason or the only evidence we had was this. It just, he wouldn't fire the coach. It doesn't make any sense. It has Dolan's fingerprints all over it because it was a decision we didn't agree with. If you didn't agree with it, it was like, well, Leon Rose wouldn't do this. I trust Leon Rose, and this is stupid. So it had to be the owner. And at this point, and I said this the other night, two nights ago, whenever I said it, and I feel it now, and I said it to Marco, too. We were talking about it. It obviously feels like this is James Dolan now because of the lack of a response or the lack of a good plan after the firing of Tibbs. It feels like, because, again, if you're Leon Rose, firing Tibbs wasn't like some sort of, I know it came upon them maybe in a more dramatic way after the exit meetings, but the idea of moving on from Tibbs could not have been completely foreign to him. Like, they had to have had some sort of concept about firing Tibbs if they were really considering it. At least that's what I would have thought. So right now it feels like James Dolan because of the response, not necessarily because Tibbs got fired, but because of the disjointed process after the firing, it really feels like Dolan. And you know what? I can't believe I'm saying this because Dolan meddling is a disaster. And Dolan getting involved and making decisions and forcing Leon Rose to do things and forcing coaches out and firing Tibbs is a disaster. But at this point, it better be James Dolan, because if it's just Leon Rose, I really am very concerned about my opinion of Leon Rose. And I know, and look, it might all turn out great, and I'll feel like an idiot, and I'll have to apologize to Leon Rose. He might hire a great coach. They might be in the NBA Finals next year, and I'll have to apologize for all of this. I'm open to that. Right now, it feels like a clunky, disjointed, non-plan, leaderless plan, rudderless plan, that they're just out casting a wide net over fish that have already been caught. Like, it just feels like this. There's no real plan to this thing. And I didn't want to think Leon Rose would do something and not have at least some sort of idea on what he's doing. And I don't consider just asking five teams in the NBA if we could talk to their coach. I don't consider that a plan. I don't. So at this point, it's almost like, man, either way, I'm really disappointed in the direction the Knicks are going. But maybe it's better that it is James Dolan, because if this is how Leon Rose wanted to handle following the season of getting to the first Eastern Conference Finals in 25 years, haphazardly firing the coach and then having no real direction on where to replace him, it better be James Dolan, because if it's Leon Rose, I don't feel great about the direction of the team. I can handle the idea that James Dolan felt like, hey, these exit meetings told me something, we got to fire the coach, I don't care, you deal with it. I mean, that sucks, and when's to know the next time he's going to do that again? But at least, hey, all right, Leon Rose is scrambling right now because it wasn't his plan to fire the coach. He gave the coach an extension 8 months ago, and he was caught off guard with the owner forcing his hand, and now he's got to react. I'd rather it be that. I'd rather it be that than Leon Rose deciding to fire him, and this is how he wants to handle it. Stuart in Brooklyn, what's up, Stu?
I told you it's Dolan. There's no other way around it, Chris. He is a meddler. He didn't stop meddling with the Rangers until Tortorella told him to get the bleep out of my locker room.
I don't know. You don't think he let Glenn Sather run the Rangers? I feel like he let Glenn Sather run the Rangers.
Yeah, but then
that's a little bit of a tongue twister right there.
No. Let Glenn Sather run the Rangers. He walked into the locker room and Tortorella told him to get lost.
I understand.
All right, the thing is, this can't be Leon Rose. If it is, you're right. You're 100% correct. If this is Leon Rose, you don't feel good about Leon Rose after all the good things he's done,
mm-hmm.
and now he's going to do this? No, it's not Leon Rose. This is James Dolan all the way, not even a question. There's not a question in my mind. And if it turns out to be Leon Rose, yes, I agree with you. We have to apologize. All right, but the thing is, He better hire a good coach.
Well, I mean, that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line to all of this, dude.
Who would you put there? Who would you bring in as coach right now?
Of all the names, I have the dream pie in the sky coaches, or I have the legitimate ones we've heard of being discussed. I mean,
one of your pioneers guy and one of the guys that they talked about.
I have to admit, it's normally not my style to buy into this type of thing, but my dream coach would be Jay Wright. I don't normally buy into the, you know, successful college coach come here, run the NBA team just because he's got a connection to the players. Like, I normally wouldn't buy into that, but I do really respect Jay Wright, and part of it is probably my bias of, you know, having a couple of dealings with him. I'm not telling you I know Jay Wright, but I've talked to him. I've been around him a little bit because of his connection to Francesa.
Right.
So I've been in the same room with him, talked to him a little bit, but that doesn't make me, I'm not saying I know the man, but I'm just openly admitting that could be why I'm biased towards that, because it's not normally my style to want to make that jump. But right. my dream coach would be Jay Wright, and the one that of all the names we're talking about right now would be Jason Kidd. And thank you for the call, Stu. I would want Jason Kidd to be the head coach. I would want Jason, as of all the names I've heard so far that they've discussed, I think Jason Kidd is the best option. After that, honestly, I'd rather just take the chance on Johnny Bryant. I would either go, let's really focus on what we can do, and especially if Jason Kidd is with me. If I get the wind, or I'm talking to Jason Kidd, or I get the idea that Jason Kidd wants to be the Knicks head coach, I'm focused on, all right, well, what can we do to get Dallas to say yes? What do we have to do? What do you have to do, Jason? What do we have to do? Like, let's get you here. That's what I would focus on. And if that doesn't work and that eventually comes to an end, I'm not interested in any of the names. I know Malone was kind of like dismissed as a possibility. Obviously, he's a guy who's won an NBA championship, but, you know, he's kind of like Tibbs in the way he's a little bit abrasive. He's thrown players under the bus. He lost his team. Clearly, that's why he was fired, because the players felt like they didn't want to play for him anymore. I don't know if it was Jokic or just, you know, the rest of the cast, but clearly there was an issue there with that team, but I would be open to him. But, like, we're talking about Mike Brown. We're talking about, you know, names that just don't excite me. What's his name again, who won the championship with the Lakers in 2020? Vogel. Like, none of those names excite me. I would rather take the chance on the young assistant head coach that had worked with the team before, that a lot of people think is the next, you know, real good young head coach in this league. So to me, those are the two best options. I would go Jason Kidd if I can really make that work. If I have an inkling that Jason Kidd wants the job bad enough that he'll make things uncomfortable in Dallas and that can work out, that would be my prime number one. If not, none of the other names excite me to the level where I would rather not just go with the young assistant coach and see if I find something special there. I'd rather go Johnny Bryant. So those are my two. I want Jason Kidd number one. If not Kidd, I would go Johnny Bryant. But having said that, I really feel like they're putting Johnny Bryant behind the eight ball after going through this very public, you know, knocking on every door, asking every neighbor for a bowl of sugar. Like, I think it puts him behind the eight ball because he's not, you can't sell him as a top choice. You're literally doing everything you can to hire someone else besides him. So as much as I'd like to hire him, it just feels like when they do, and then they try and tell me, we have targeted this guy, he's been, you know, you'd be like, really? Then what the hell were you trying to get Quinn Snyder out of Atlanta for? Due diligence? Okay, yeah. Great answer. Jeff in Fort Lee, what's up, Jeff?
Chris, my man, life is good as a Mets fan. But
yes, life is good as a Mets fan. That is absolutely true.
I mean, if you guys can get to the World Series, we'll see you there, but, you know.
feeling that good on this Thursday morning. All it takes is one complete game shutout, which, by the way, and Jeff, I mean this. I'm not trying to knock the Mets in any way. I want to specify this because it feels like in this new genre of sports radio, if a openly known Yankee fan says anything about the Mets, he is somehow, you know, trying to knock them. He's being sarcastic. Like, I can't honestly give my honest opinion because it's some sort of like deep-seated Met hatred that is oozing out of me. And I'm just, you know, if you read between the lines, it's there and crystal clear. But Like, that's not the case. But I just find it fascinating how we treat complete game shutouts now. Because I got to admit, it almost felt like a no-hitter. He says in the post-game press conference about Torrens, this is as much his as mine. I'm like, this is as much his as mine. It's a complete game. He didn't throw a no-hitter. But it is so rare. And it is so unique these days to see a pitcher go nine. I think I saw a stat that, and of course it's 3:48 in the morning, so I'm going to lose his name, but tragically passed away, pitched for the Phillies and the Toronto Blue Jays, Roy Halladay. Over the last like 8 years or 9 years, Roy Halladay still leads Major League Baseball in complete games, and he hasn't pitched in almost, you know, 8 of those 10 years. It's ridiculous. So it's unique. It's awesome. It was an incredible performance, and it is worthy of the celebration it's getting.
Well, it's our bullpen, which is great. But I want to get on to my next point.
Yeah.
So a caller brought it up maybe 30 minutes ago, and actually made me think. Is there any way, with all these names that we, or all these teams that Leon Rose is asking for, the only way that the league can actually inquire, or like, investigate this? Because this is a little shady.
Well, it's not every single team, and I'm sorry, Jeff, you are breaking up there. I'm going to let you go. It's not every single team, but they're openly asking. There's nothing wrong. They're not doing anything nefarious. They're not doing anything under the table, as far as we know. If one of these coaches, like, if Jason Kidd gets hot, I'll say this, I suppose. After Dallas says no, if Jason Kidd gets hired, and maybe there would be some sort of investigation on why Dallas changed its mind, or but even like there's rules to it. The Dallas Mavericks, the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Houston Rockets, they have to say yes to allow this to happen, and then there's got to be compensation. So there's really nothing to investigate. If Jason Kidd, I don't know what the rules are with the CBA or contract. Like if Jason Kidd just resigns to get out of his contract and then joins the Knicks, I don't know if that's legal. I don't know how that would be done, but whatever he does to make life complicated for the Dallas Mavericks, to make them change their minds and be willing to deal with the Knicks, like they still have to change their minds. They're willingly doing it. I don't know if there's nothing wrong with it. They are publicly, clearly, because it's all being reported, they are publicly asking permission to speak with a team's head coach and can be told no. So whether it's a single team, five teams, or the entire league, there's nothing wrong with what the Knicks are doing. There's nothing illegal about what the Knicks are doing. They're above board asking. They're not like, unless they find out they're handing, you know, the Dallas Mavericks, you know, $10 million under the table at Denny's or something. But no. They're doing everything above board. They are inquiring to the eligibility of the head coach of this franchise, these franchises that have head coaches, and taking interest to see if they would be willing to move on from them. And every one of them have told.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Them know.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 3:58. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Obviously, both baseball teams get a victory, but David Peterson kind of is the story of the night. Yes, the Yankees, Judge hits another home run. We can get into Volpe. We get into Wells. We can get into Jazz Chisholm as well with an injury. Oh, why are you sitting Jazz on a Saturday after he's hot? I don't know, because the guy can't stay healthy. Slides into third base, strains a neck. Now he's got a groin injury. Maybe they're trying to keep him on the field. I don't know. But let me put the shill aside for half a second and talk about David Peterson and his performance last night, who is now 5-2 on the season with a 2.49 and is, as you know, one of the top lefty pitchers in all of baseball. And last night he goes out there and throws a complete game shutout. Last year, the same from Severino in Miami, but this guy and this team, obviously, they get the scoring started with Pete Alonso. What else is new? Juan Soto hits a home run, and I don't know why. And I've seen all of Juan Soto's home runs this year, but there was something about this home run that felt more like Juan Soto than the others. There was something about the high, you know, arcing blast and the way he stared it down. It just looked more like Juan Soto, or at least more like I remember Juan Soto last year than any before. And it just screamed to me. I know he's been hot for a little while now. I know the last, you know, 8 or 9 games, clearly through Colorado, he's really, you know, turned it on here and has had an incredible stretch here, getting on base, hitting home runs. He's hit home runs, what now, 3 straight games? This one felt different. And I'm just telling you now, we're about to see Juan Soto take off. Like, I know, again, I know he's already done it for a little bit, but we're about to have, by the end of June, you are going to look at his numbers, and they are going to be much more representative of what Juan Soto is. There is no doubt in my mind. He is about to go on a long stretch of absolute dominance here. And if Pete Alonso and Lindor keep pace, as the Mets have now won 5 games in a row, the Mets are about to take off. Because if they're going to keep getting starting pitching like David Peterson gave them, and to want that ball, to have this game, it meant something, clearly, watching the post game and watching him celebrate on the field. And I'm not trying to diminish it. It's an incredible start and a great performance. It's just funny to me where we are baseball-wise. Like, they've become such a abnormality that we almost treated it like it was a no-hitter or something last night. That's how unique it is. That's how incredible a performance it is in today's baseball. Because players just don't do it. Managers, and give credit to Mendoza, who is doing an incredible job, is an incredible manager. Has really, I mean, obviously, we're talking about a calendar year. In fact, we are talking about a calendar year. As today is the anniversary, as Fleegs is wearing the shirt on the other side, the anniversary of the first pitch thrown by Grimace. We are a full calendar year of the Mets being the best team in baseball, the Mets having the best vibes in baseball, the Mets having the most fun in baseball, the Mets being one of the best stories in baseball. It is now a full calendar year under Stearns, under Cohen, under Mendoza, and this franchise is now, what are they, 20 games over 500. They are 26-7 in their ballpark. They continue to throw good start after good start, and last night had a great one. The Phillies are floundering, and the Mets are now 5 games up in the division. They were 1 game down 10 days ago. In 10 games, they have jumped 6 games up in the standings. That's how fast it can happen. And right now, I know it's been against Colorado, and I know it's been against Washington, but they make perfect plays on relay throws to get runners out at the plate. Jeff McNeil has taken off. Alonso's as hot as ever. And there was something for me as a Yankee fan watching Juan Soto all of last year. There was just something about the way. Go back and watch the home run he hit to send the Yankees to the World Series. And watch the body language of the home run he hit last night. It's that same underneath it, high arcing, staring at that little bit of unsure but cockiness that he still is able to provide on balls he's not even sure he hit out. There was something about the body language in that home run that screamed Juan Soto. And unfortunately, so much of the talk around him is whether or not his body language screams Juan Soto. And yeah, he's been on hot for a while. And yes, the Soto shuffle and the head nod has reared, has poked up occasionally over the last 2 weeks, going back to maybe even the Dodgers series. But I don't know why. Something about the home run last night spoke to me about Juan Soto about to take off. And you continue to get great performances. David Peterson is an ace. Clay Holmes is pitching like an ace. I mean, Griffin Canning is pitching like an ace. Senga is pitching like an ace. Like, I mean, they have the best starting rotation in baseball. You could argue right now they have the best closer in baseball. They've got the best RBI man in baseball, and the biggest free agent in history is about to take off. The Mets are in as good a position, 5 games up over the Phillies, with the Braves floundering as you could possibly be.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.